reminded, just to let people know, on the 15th of February, on a Sunday night, at about 7 o'clock, we have Brenton Brown. He was the one who, do you remember the album called Hungry? I think it came out a few years ago when I was at college studying for ministry. And he's a fantastic worship leader, and he's going to come and lead us in worship. He's going to also teach on, he's got a real heart of worship and social justice, the whole idea that worship cannot just be contained within the church, but it must have a practical outworking in order to bring God's kingdom in a practical way. So he's coming on the 15th of February in the evening, and that's going to be a really encouraging time. So if you've got friends or anyone who would like to come along to join us for that, it'd be great to see you. So as we have these overflow meetings, which are basically when we have the morning and evening services coming together. And the vision for this, I said earlier, it comes out of Psalm 23. It says this, "You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." And I really believe that God wants to pour his blessing upon his church in order that we can be a blessing. And we've been meeting every other week in the Hot House, which is our opportunity to pray together on a Monday night. And we pray, we worship, we seek God together. And one Monday, which is probably about 4 weeks ago, I was sitting there with the rest of the guys praying. And as I was praying, I saw a picture. And in this picture, I saw a wave. But I saw the wave pulling back. And it's a bit like a few years ago when they had a tsunami. Suddenly, people on the beach and the wave completely disappeared. And suddenly, there was a whole beach was laid bare. And as I saw the picture, I felt the Lord say that I'm pulling the wave back in order to lay everything bare. And I believe we're going into a season where God is going to show us what our hearts are like. We're going to go into a season where God is going to reveal those things, those attitudes, those things which haven't been right. But not because it's because he wants to release the blessing. It says in Romans 2, the kindness of God leads to repentance. And as I saw that wave go back, I suddenly saw the sea, the sand, completely laid bare. And it was a very vulnerable place to be. But God said, I want to do this in order to prepare the people for the blessing. And you see, God's love is what changes us, because God's love never fails. But we're in a season where God's revealing our hearts, he's revealing our attitudes, he's revealing our situation in order that he can lead us into that place of repentance and then that place of blessing. And so it's challenging when we go through these times, and it's for all of us. It's not just it's for me, it's for my wife, it's for all of us. But it's a season of everything being laid bare. And so, Lord Jesus, I just want to... It's a challenging picture, Lord, and it was challenging seeing it, but I was excited about it because it's a time of preparation. And what I love about your time of preparation, Lord, is for the arrival of the King. John the Baptist prepared a people in order to invite the King into the center of that city of Jerusalem, of that nation. And Lord, we want you to come, but Lord, you want to come, but also the way needs to be prepared for the coming of the King. So pray, Lord, this morning that you'd work with us, Lord, through your love, through your grace, and through your kindness. That you'll lead us to that place, Lord, that we would deal with those things that are hidden, and that we can give them to you, Lord, because you're loving and you're a kind God. So thank you, Father, for your grace upon us, a people. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you quickly flip with me to Ezekiel 47. I'm going to see if I can capture something of this before we have a time of ministry. And while you're finding it, Ezekiel 47, just a little bit of background. This is a time in which the Jews were in exile. The Babylonians had captured them. They'd been taken into bondage, into slavery. They've been taken from their homeland, and the center of worship in Jerusalem had been destroyed. And so there are people without a homeland, without a place of worship. There are people in the middle of nowhere. And it's this time that God gives a vision to Ezekiel in the middle of captivity in a land, a foreign land, and he gives a vision that he's going to restore worship in the, amongst the people. And so when God gives a vision, it's often a vision of something where we are not at. For instance, the center of worship being destroyed, but God gives Ezekiel a vision of a restored sanctuary. That means a place of worship. And we see this, it says this: "The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the temple faced east, the water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out to the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south gate." And so Ezekiel is standing on the entrance of the temple looking towards the east, and he sees water begin to flow past the brazen altar. And the water starts flowing slowly at first. And one of the things about God, I've recognized this, is that do not despise the day of small things. There's nothing that God does without it being a small thing. We kind of want this to happen, but it can't happen until we come to that place where God deals with us and he teaches us in the small places. And I've noticed over the years, it often starts small. It starts with the individual. It starts with a small group. It starts with the church, the churches, the city, and the nation. And that's one of the reasons why things like small groups are so important, because they are small places in order for us to learn about the ministry of Jesus. Because no one who does anything doesn't learn in the small places. I remember growing up in Chorley Wood, and Matt Redman was about 14 years old, and my dad invited him to begin to come traveling with him on ministry trips. And he could play about 3 chords of a guitar at the time, and it's pretty awful. But he'd go out with my dad, and he just began to learn how to worship. And he started, and then he started learning a small group, a home group. And before you know it, God really began to teach him in the small place in order for God to release him into a wider use for the kingdom. And that's the same with each one of us. So here we have the picture of Ezekiel in the temple. The water is beginning to flow. And then it says, "As the man went eastward with the measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led him through the water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through the water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that could not be crossed because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim." And so in this we see Ezekiel, firstly in the temple, firstly we see the day of small things, we see the water begin to trickle out of the temple, then we see the word, "He led me." And so what God does is he leads us. Anything that he starts comes from him, but he leads us step by step in from one place to another. And so how do we know what God does? It says this in Psalm 23. It talks that God is the shepherd. He says this. Jesus says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul." And you see, God initiates it, but also God leads it. And so with Ezekiel, he was saying he saw the water coming, but then he was led. He was led ankle deep, he was led knee deep, he was led waist deep. And then there came a time where the water was overwhelming. And Jesus says in John, and it says in Matthew and Mark, that Jesus was led into the desert. And it says in Ezekiel, the water came out of the temple into the desert. And it's the deserts that come before the blessing. And in that picture I saw of the wave being pulled back, there was a desert. It's a time of preparation, a time of refining, a time of getting our hearts right with God. Because God prepares his people for the blessing. You see, if we don't learn in the desert, we can miss out on the blessing. That's what happened with the nation of Israel, wasn't it? They didn't learn, so they missed on the blessing. But God's invitation is that we pick up what he is doing. So in that picture, we see God measuring off times and seasons. The first season was ankle deep, then knee deep, then waist deep. There's a sense of God's power coming uncontrollably. And then the question is this. Son of man, do you see this? What do you think that means? Well, the angel of the Lord is saying, do you get it? Do you understand what God is doing? Then it goes to say, then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down to Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh and swarms of living creatures. All live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So wherever the river flows, everything will live. And so we see the water beginning to build. It goes ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. And then there's an overwhelming sense of God's presence coming. And then it says, I arrived there and I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. And in this, in the Old Testament, trees are often representative of people. It says in Psalms, he's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruits in season and whose leaf never withers. Whatever he does prospers. It says in Isaiah 61, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And so in preparation for the river coming, there's a sense of putting your roots deep down. It says even in the desert, there's streams of water that yields its fruit in season. And then when the water begins to come, it begins to change everything it comes into contact with. It says this. This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it enters the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. And what it's saying here, I don't know if you know about this, but the river Arabah was a freshwater river. And the river was going down into the Dead Sea. And I don't know if any of you have been in the Dead Sea. It's completely saturated with salt water. And the water is such that because of the density of the salt, if you lie in it, you can kind of almost lie back in it and it completely supports you. And there's absolutely no life whatsoever in the Dead Sea. And the imagery here is this, that when the water begins to come, the fresh water enters into the salt sea and actually transforms the salt sea into a place of living water. And so what it's saying here, the unchangeable can be changed. When the Spirit of the Lord comes, the unchangeable can be changed. And that's what I think is an encouraging picture there. And then it says this. Then there'll be swarms of living creatures all live where the river flows. There'll be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So wherever the river flows, everything will live. And that's what I'm just going to leave at the moment, because I just think we're going to minister now, because I think that's what we want to do. But it's just that the Lord, I just believe when I was praying about this, is the Lord is showing us a picture of a restored sanctuary, a place of worship, a place as God intended it to be. And in the place of worship, God began to release the signs and symbols of what is to come. The signs and symbols of the water beginning to flow. And as the water flows, it's noticeable to start with it being only ankle deep. Then it's knee deep, waist deep. And then suddenly an overwhelming presence as the God begins to pour out His Spirit upon the church. The wonderful thing about when the Spirit comes upon the church, whatever it comes into contact, it can change that situation. The fresh water changes the salt water. It changes the unchangeable. Where the unchangeable is changed, instead of a place of where there's no life, suddenly it's placed full of teeming fish, full of life. And as we continue going down to the end of the prophecy, it says there'll be trees full of fruit. And it says about the trees is that they're not worried about season because they're always fruitful. And it's a sense of actually God's pouring His Spirit upon the church in order for the Lord to restore, to bless, and to bring the unchangeable to change. And so we're just going to wait now, just for a moment, and just going to invite the Spirit of the Lord to come. And we're just going to invite that Spirit to begin that process of that trickle into our lives. So shall we stand? And we're going to invite the Lord to come now, and we're going to have plenty of time doing that. And what I'm going to do, which is probably a bit unusual, but it's not unusual, is that it's interesting this morning, that verse about God wanting to sing over His people, but I'm going to use some sounds that God has shown me just to begin the process of... Whoops. So we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come now, Lord. And we just want to pray now that you would, that word out of Zephaniah, Lord, talk about the longing to sing over your people, Lord. It says in your word that the sound of strings makes you glad. And I want to pray now, Lord, that you'd release your Spirit upon your people now, Lord. Lord, we want to welcome you into the church now, Lord, just to come.